It's good to see everyone out tonight that wasn't injured hunting eggs this afternoon. So glad y'all made it out. It's good to see everyone. This day today is the day that we know and believe that changed our lives as we lived them. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Had that not taken place, there would really be no power in us giving our lives to Jesus. Jesus could change our lives because Jesus lives, because the tomb is empty. We're not here today. We haven't came here today to remember of death, but we've came to celebrate a resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus is the foundation to Christianity. And again, if the resurrection didn't happen, then we're all in trouble. As Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "But if there was no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised." When you examine the various different religions of the world, many times they involve a person, and that person is dead. And in some cases, the followers of those groups, they make pilgrimages to the tombs of their fallen leaders. But in our case, in the case of Christ, we don't have a tomb to visit. The tomb is empty. The resurrection was such an event in history that still, though, as we talk this morning, there are some that are skeptical on the reality of the event. Well, tonight we'll mainly stick in John chapter 20 and just look at some of the reactions to the resurrection by some of Jesus's key followers. And as we look at these reactions to the resurrection by those who loved Jesus the most, we can see really a high level of believability that gives us even more evidence to believe in this event. You think about when you get to that Sunday, the resurrection day, it had been a pretty traumatic week for those left, for the disciples and the other followers of Jesus. About a week before, Jesus has entered into Jerusalem being held as a victorious king. And just a few days ago, he's been murdered. He's now dead. The execution of Jesus was done in public for everyone to see. There was no doubt about it that Jesus Christ was dead. The crucifixion and burial took place. It's now Sunday morning, and Mary Magdalene is headed for the tomb with some other disciples and with some spices to adorn the body of Jesus. And the book of Mark tells us in chapter 16 that when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. So from the book of Mark, we see that folks didn't go to the tomb expecting to find an empty tomb. They were going there expecting to find a corpse that was going to be in need of spices to help preserve it. And again, if you were to be making up this story, I don't think this is the way you would be making it up. John chapter 20 verse 1 says that on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She's the first to reach the tomb. She sees that the stone has been moved away. So what does she do? Now, if you're writing this story, well, why wouldn't you just say that she dropped to her knees and she began worshiping God for raising her Savior? But that's not what we see. Verse 2 tells us that she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter, who's writing this, right? Outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. So Mary runs and finds Peter and John, and she tells them what? She tells them someone has taken the Lord out of the tomb. She says, she's talking about the other Mary and the other disciples and Salome in Mark 16. She says, we don't know where they've taken him. Again, that there's nothing here about a resurrection, even though Jesus had told his disciples several times that he would be raised on the third day. Now, again, with this information, how do Peter and John react? Again, they don't say anything about knowing that a resurrection is coming. They take off running. And when they get to the tomb, they find it void of Jesus' body. And it says that they saw the linen cloth lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head was not lying with the linen cloth, but folded up in a place by itself. We also read here that now John too believed. Even though he didn't understand what was happening concerning the resurrection. But here we see the reaction of those at the empty tomb was one of surprise, that they didn't expect to find anything there but a dead body. And verse 10 says what they did. It says, then the disciples went back to their homes. And again, if you looked at what John has told us about the reaction to the empty tomb, let's look at just some of the various people, reactions that people have had toward Jesus. When Mary is back at the tomb, she's distraught, and she wants to know where they put Jesus. She has no expectation of finding Jesus alive again. There are two angels in the tomb sitting there where Jesus has been laid, and they ask her a question. Verse 13 of John 20 says that they said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And Mary said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Again, she still thinks he's been taken. And then Jesus appears to her, and we see her reaction. Verse 14 says, having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she turned to him and said in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Again, here, Mary may be a little bit hard-headed. She thinks that Jesus is the gardener, and she's still in that "where is my Jesus body" mindset. But when she finally does recognize this person to be Jesus, it's almost mind-blowing, because it just doesn't occur to her that it could be Jesus, because again, she's seen him die. And now she's excited, and she leaves to spread the word. So let's look at some of the disciples' response. It's around evening time, maybe around 8 or 9 p.m. Verse 19 tells us that the doors are locked because the disciples are fearful of the Jews. And again, that doesn't sound like a group of people who thought that Jesus was going to rise. I think if they believed at this point that was going to happen, that they wouldn't have had to lock their doors. They wouldn't have had any reason to be afraid. They would have had a person who had came back from the dead. We do see this fearless attitude later in the book of Acts, but not right here. They've heard the report from Mary and from Peter and John by this time. They've gathered together. I would imagine there's a mixture of some excitement and fear in this group. And then Jesus appears the group, and they're glad. Verse 19 says that on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And then Jesus goes on and he tells them that he has a mission for them. Verse 21 says, "A peace be with you as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." And we see that reaction of the disciples was one of joy, and then seeing Jesus alive again, but there was still one person missing. And so we go and we find Thomas is not there. And of course, we all love to talk about doubting Thomas. The disciples tell Thomas this news, and in verse 25 tells us that they said, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see his hands and the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his sides, I will never believe." And I think, again, we give Thomas a really hard time, but if we wanted to do a show of hands, how many of us could really blame Thomas for reacting like this? He had seen exactly what the Romans had did to Jesus, and up until that point, there had not been anybody that had ever came back from that. You didn't come back from a Roman execution. But you fast forward 8 days later, and now Jesus comes to Thomas. In verse 26, it says, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And again, as Jesus sees Thomas, he goes right up to him. And Jesus knows what Thomas needs in order to believe. Jesus doesn't beat up Thomas or harass him for his doubt. Jesus gives Thomas what he needs. And I think that's true for us. Jesus is not afraid of our questions or doubts. Jesus won't abuse anyone for asking questions. And how did Thomas react to Jesus? Verse 28 says he responded in faith. He says, "My Lord, my God." And I think then Jesus says something to Thomas that speaks to us today. Verse 29, Jesus says, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." In the book of Mark, Jesus would say that whoever does believe and is baptized is saved, but whoever does not believe is condemned. Tonight, I would ask that you don't leave here tonight if you have a question on your salvation, to make that right in whatever way you need to do so. If that's through baptism, putting Christ on, let it be baptism. If you need prayers of the congregation, make that known as together we stand and we sing.